Warning, the following podcast contains naughty words and opinions. While neither of these has been shown to be hazardous, you should be aware that exposure to both has been known to cause chafing. Apply only to available ear-shaped head holes. Cease insertion if resistance is met.
Welcome to Sideswap, the podcast that we do whenever the fuck we want, however the fuck we want. This week, we have two very firsts. We have an in-person record, and we have a lady, a lovely lady.
I have a vagina.
The inimitable Elisa.
Yeah, everyone, that's my wife. She's good people.
I was supposed to not talk during that sentence, and I fucked that up.
You waited until sentence number two, which is actually perfect.
Yes!
So far, so good.
Yeah, no, this is a Cinema Slot first. The original hosts are doing this live. Or not live, but in person at least. No, well, it's going to be edited into some weird bullshit, but, you know.
Step number one, before we go into the movie, Elisa, what do you want our audience to know about you? What do you bring to this podcast?
I am wife. I just felt like saying that, like I am Groot. I am Jason's wife. And most times when they record this podcast, I'm getting drunk at a bar. So this is a fun little abnormality.
Jason, tell us, what are we watching tonight?
So let's talk about the movie we watched. I mean, I don't even know how to pronounce this anymore. I believe they're pronounced craters.
Show me the crates.
I'm sorry, was it craters or palm craters or palm crites?
Or are you talking about frites? I don't know.
Do you saute them in butter? What's the deal?
I think they're served with steak and an olive.
You know, honestly, I think I would love to eat one of them.
This is going to be the hardest edit I've ever done.
So we watched Critters, 1986, masterpiece.
Do we actually look that up now?
It's 1986, 1987, whatever. It's mid 80s.
I believe he mispronounced 1986-ish.
Whatever. Y'all can hate me.
Yeah. Nobody comes to our show for accuracy.
God, no. Yeah, we watched Critters, or Critters. I don't really know. The movie tells me it's supposed to be Critters, but I called it Critters. Shit happens. It's a fun mid-80s movie about some little furballs that fuck up some shit in middle of Kansas.
But it's two T's, right?
It is two T's.
No matter how they decided to pronounce that in the 80s, as a human that needs to really concentrate on how things are enunciated, two T's, that's Critters. Fuck Critters. That ain't Critters.
The Critters thing comes from two space aliens who don't have proper faces. And so I don't think that we have to rely on them. It's sort of like asking a German how to say, like, I don't know, some Swahili.
Well, there are two other points. Oh, God. There are two other points that make it. They're called Crichtons.
So they're named after the robot and Red Dwarf?
Yeah. Anyway, the weird little fucking worm dude that's in the beginning called them Crichtons.
I'm going to give a little bit of context just because I think this is important. You open up on Field of Dreams, and then you cut to Star Wars. And in Star Wars, a guy in a Jabba the Hutt costume that's been shrunk into the size of a poodle tells a couple people with no heads that they need to be, like, careful and not shoot stuff so much, and then sends them after the fur buckets with lots of teeth.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're up to speed, I think, right?
Fur buckets for lots of with lots of teeth is literally going to be what I refer to children as.
Do you know mostly hairy children?
Have you met Jason's family?
Point taken.
We're hairy. Sorry.
Can we talk about the hologram for a second?
We can talk about whatever you want.
Yes, that is a beautiful setup of the premise. That hologram was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Look, you have to have a little bit of suspension of disbelief
for
these garbage movies because it's 1986. It has a budget. It has a small budget. And it couldn't afford proper CGI.
Did CGI even exist?
Well, I mean, they had a computer. Its name was Terrence. And it took punch cards.
And it took up the entire city block.
Yeah, we're kind of in that territory. They probably were doing what we would consider to be computer graphics, but basically with what would amount to like a microwave and a calculator.
Right. I'm sorry. Does that make me not able to mock it now?
No. I'm just trying to say that your mockery should have a tinge of nostalgic respect.
Nope. I can't gather that.
It still looks bad.
I looked deep in my loins and I could not bring it up.
You are not welcome on our James Bond side episodes because you need a tinge of nostalgic respect for that.
Those I would love to be a part of. Bring the lady piece in. That'll be great.
Everybody knows James Bond is a paragon of sexual liberation and respect. Everybody knows that.
I mean, John, we got 3 more Critters episodes. I think we've already disinvited Elisa to them.
I like how you disinvited your wife. It wasn't me. You just took that off the table.
I mean, if you come into a movie from 1986 and want to talk about the graphics, you're already doing it wrong.
Fuck you both. Like, you weren't going to talk about the graphics eventually.
I mean, I was going to fix it on puppets, but that was just...
Yeah.
Let's move on from all the infighting I'm going to cut.
Infighting.
Cue up a can opening up. Do a couple of them.
This movie was childhood magic to me somehow. Like, it terrified me, but excited me in some way. Like, I felt like a young Scott Grimes, or Brad, if you're following along with the cast. He's the child.
Yes, Red.
Yeah, the little ginger bastard.
Just gotta say, deep in my heart, I love any movie that just calls the redhead Red.
Well, his father called him boy a couple times. I feel like that might be where my nickname came from. I don't know.
Ooh.
Which is more affectionate, boy or Red?
100% Red. Jason is called boy in his real life by his family, and he hates it.
I do.
Man in his 30s, still called boy.
The only thing I can think of is Phantasm, where it's boy!
Anyway, you know, I respect this movie as a child, so I really liked it. I didn't realize it was this comedic growing up.
I will say, he said this terrified him as a child.
It did.
John, how did you feel as a child watching this film? Did you see it as a child?
Honestly, I think I saw this on the Sci-Fi Channel. I don't know how old I was, but probably, I don't know, 13? That was at a stage in my life where the Sci-Fi Channel was just, you turned it on and it was entertaining no matter what it was. I was like, there's just going to be something weird and fun and I'm just going to watch it and it'll be great. And that's how I approached Critters as a kid. And then like 2 years ago, I rewatched Critters and I think I was too sober or too by myself. And I didn't really like it. But rewatching it tonight with you guys, even though the humor started off very broad, by the middle of the movie, I was completely charmed by the stupid fucking puppets and honestly how good they were. And also the jokes started to work for me, even though early in the movie, it's very campy. By the middle of the movie, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm into it.
I mean, it did really help that you had friends around that were making fun of the movie because we all knew that we had to.
I mean, it was kind of Mystery Science Theater up in this bitch.
Yeah.
Slightly.
But at the moments where the critters got the characters unexpectedly, like we were in the movie. Like it wasn't like we were completely cynical.
No, we took this movie as much as we could and kept with it. So when a critter got shot or had a fan fall on it or whatever.
That was a great moment.
We were kind of like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was more like a midnight movie, you know? So like we were laughing at it, but we were also laughing with it. It wasn't completely just fuck this movie for being bad.
I was half watching this movie because I was doing some work while tuning in and out. I feel like it made the critters extra dick. Mm-hmm. Like they just, no.
Like when you say no, do you mean like they're not scary or like you reject the whole thing?
I mean, they were never scary.
I don't know, dude. They had 3 rows of teeth. That was kind of like...
Yeah, no, but why don't you kick them down the fucking stairs? Instead of trying to light your house on fire, kick it down the stairs. Boot it like a goddamn soccer ball.
Elisa, can I answer your question with a story? A real biographical story?
Was there a critter in your house once?
No, it's about soccer, actually. When I was in kindergarten, my dad... You've met my dad.
I've met your dad.
Multiple times. Is he a lovely human being?
He is an extremely lovely human being.
Do you have any reason to think he has expertise in soccer?
100% I would say no.
Okay, so my dad was coaching my kindergarten soccer team. And by the end of the season, how many games do you think we won?
Zero.
How many goals do you think we scored?
You or the team?
The team.
One?
Try lower.
I was just hoping. It's kindergarten. Nobody knows what the fuck's happening.
But we're playing other kindergartners.
Everyone's just running around. I thought something might have accidentally happened.
Yeah, but it's not us versus Brazil. It's us versus...
All right, so zero.
So my point is that...
-2.
Your stratagem of kicking it like a soccer ball would probably just ensure my untimely death.
Yeah, but no one in this film was kindergarten aged.
However, I grew up. And I never scored a goal.
That's just because you've never been athletic. Guys.
2018, maybe 2019 will be the revival of Critters. Critters 5, maybe. Let's hope. Let's hope it's not a cinematic universe.
They're going to remake it.
However,
let's just talk about the two unfortunate human beings that were actually killed by these critters.
So you've got Neelix from Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah.
My heart.
Billy Zane.
My heart.
Do you still love him even with his, like, little rat tail?
I love him most with his little rat tail.
Do you... Now, okay. Now, as a female-type person...
human with vagina.
Yeah, as a human with a vagina. He was playing an interesting inversion on the horror movie trope.
Yeah, girl was getting at that dick.
Yeah.
And he was not having it.
Well,
I respect Billy Zane saying no. Hashtag him too.
Damn, girl.
I think you kind of answered it, but was part of the attractiveness of Billy Zane that he was not just all about getting that tang?
No.
Was it the rat tail?
It was 100% not the rat tail. Had I met 1980 what the fuck ever Billy Zane, first thing I would have done, snip snip on the rat tail. But like, OG Billy Zane, hot ass balls. Just saying.
Okay, Billy Zane had hair. I could barely identify him as Billy Zane.
I recognize him.
At first, in the beginning, I was like, what the fuck? And I heard you guys saying, it's Billy Zane. And I was like, holy shit, Billy Zane used to be hot.
He doesn't look like that garbage human that existed in The Phantom.
I'm not defending Billy Zane. I'm just saying that wasn't his fault.
It wasn't his fault, but he was not good in it.
Okay, but Billy, if you're out there, if you're listening, grow the hair back. The ladies love the hair.
Bring the rat tail back.
Don't bring the rat tail back.
No, bring it back. It's totally cool now.
Don't listen to anyone.
You can trust one of these voices. We're all here for you, Billy.
For the record, I felt for you and your allergies.
Yeah, your hay allergies. Go fuck yourself.
I mean, like, I feel like somewhere Billy Zane's rat tail is in some girl's fucking, like, hope chest. Some girl got Billy Zane to cut off his rat tail. And she keeps that forever.
Yeah, he would have been like, what, 20, 21, 22, maybe.
I think he can maybe buy beer,
I feel like he stopped fucking aging, if that's the case.
No, Billy Zane is timeless. His face is amazing.
He just doesn't keep a good head.
If this came out in the 80s.
I'm not kidding. I agree. Billy Zane has not aged in at least 15, 20 years.
Yeah, I mean.
Literally, none of you can see any of us. But if Billy Zane is just some fucking magical being that hasn't aged in 30 years, we're all fucked.
I will kill him and I will drink his blood.
Yeah, they found the Fountain of Youth somewhere.
Can we have a party and make martinis?
For anybody listening that might know Billy Zane, we are joking.
we're kind of joking. Going back to the movie here, guys. I mean, come on. We got to talk about Critters at some point.
Don't make me stop talking about hot Billy Zane.
I'm sorry, but he dies. Anyway, this movie, it didn't ever take itself seriously. Why is no one pointing that out?
How did this terrify you as children? This is what I can't get over.
No, not children. Child. Me. Not John. John wasn't terrified by this. I was.
What do you recall specifically being scared of?
Furry little creatures coming to kill us.
So what are the odds that you confuse this with Ghoulies?
Very slim.
But you also loved Gremlins.
I saw these all as like a youngin', like a 8, 10-year-old because my sister would rent me movies that I shouldn't have been watching.
But why would Critters scare you over Gremlins or Ghoulies?
No, I'm scared by everything. I have a very strong imagination, so I believe everything is real. I still do. Not everything is real, but I have a strong suspension of disbelief. And a lot of these, like, they don't scare me now, but I was scared as a child of these movies. And I don't think my wife, Elisa, has a similar entity in that.
The first movie that I can remember being scared of was actually in my, let's go with early 20s, when I met John.
Hi.
And that is The Descent, because I was not a horror film human. I will say, one of the movies that I remember most from my youth, in regards to being like grossed out and annoyed, is actually a CinemaSlap throwback.
Oh, tell us more.
That's Tremors.
Really?
Grossed out and annoyed. I think the annoyed part is the part I'm keying in on here.
Yeah.
So, grossed out because when I remember seeing Tremors, I was like, what the fuck? Oh my God. I'm never going to the desert. Fuck that noise. So you could call that scared, I guess. Because I was straight up like, there are ginormous worm bugs that eat people in the desert.
Yeah, graboids, I'm out.
I hated it. And then it was on like TBS or some bullshit every fucking week. It was always on. And my dad would watch that movie every fucking time. Tremors was something that, like, to this day, I still hate the desert.
Well, you should. It's a place of destruction. Like, it kills everything in its path.
Yeah. No, and anything that survives in the desert shouldn't live.
As someone who technically lives in the desert.
Fuck all of that. The Descent. So, may I do a harken back?
Oh, Wayne's World. Get it.
Harken back to the early days of Jason and Elisa dating. Jason was at work, and Jason and John lived together at the time. John and I used to just sit around their apartment, get drunk, and entertain ourselves while Jason was at work. We would watch movies, and The Descent, we watched this movie in the dark, and I was not a fan of the shit going down in that movie. And he needlessly mocked me for it.
I wouldn't say mocked. I would say I reveled in the effects the film had.
He mercilessly reveled in the effects of the film for me.
Well, to be fair, it's honest to God, one of the most effective horror films I can think of. So I...
To this day, seriously?
It's top 10. I mean, it's like, good. It's a damn good movie.
You were freaked out too, if you were being honest.
I'm pretty sure that at some point you were like, horror movies don't work. And I was like, I got one. Like, I'm pretty sure it was that kind of scenario.
But you hadn't seen it.
If I hadn't, then Boots told me to watch it.
Oh, Boots. Well, needless to say, I was real freaked out.
Well, people who listen at home might not know this, but Boots don't fuck around.
That's very true.
Jason came home from work that night to John and I, proper drunk, and me bitching about this movie, not wanting to sleep basically anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, she was going to sleep on the second floor, which if she learned anything from The Descent, she would have known that was the best place to live.
Yeah, they go down, not up.
Yeah, they don't live in the top of the caverns.
They don't like the sun. I get it. They don't like the sun. This is going to turn into 45 minutes of me sounding like absolute hot garbage.
Edited down to 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I meant 45 minutes for the whole episode.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I need another drink.
But maybe, just maybe, we could talk about the movie we watched.
Way to bring it back.
Transition.
Jason, your cavalier attitude has me intrigued. Proceed.
I remember this being something that it wasn't, and watching it as I guess, adult.
Kid, you sounded like a little bit of a puss.
Yeah, no, fuck, I am a puss.
Okay, so we're on record. Jason's a pussy.
Yeah.
As kids, this movie had very different positions for us, sort of in our viewings, right? Yeah. Like, you found it to be legitimately scary. And for me, it was just like sort of background noise.
You found it on Sci-Fi or whatever channel it happened to be on at the time, mm-hmm. as a standard for you to watch when no one was watching you.
Oh, exactly. I mean, like, I'm not trying to denigrate the movie. I just mean that when I found this movie, it was in the 3 to 5 p.m. time slot on the Sci-Fi channel. And I thought I was getting away with something by watching Critters. But it didn't scare me. So as an adult, as a 30-something person who hosts a podcast, how do you feel about it now? Like, what?
Oh, I thought it was a great comedic run. Like, I thought it was a great campy horror movie.
And Elisa, as somebody new to it, how does this movie strike you overall?
The quaint beginnings with the oversexed teenage girl trying to convince the sexy Billy Zane.
I mean, rat tails were in, especially when you had a license plate that said New York.
Yeah, he was about, I don't know, 1,100 miles out of his license plate.
Yeah.
I think that they probably explained that at some point, like he was new to town. Where did Kevin Bacon come from in Dirty Dancing? Fuck, Footloose.
You're just going to get blanks from us. Have you seen Footloose?
From out of town. Who likes to dance?
I've seen it. I don't recall it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Foot what?
Foot Lust?
It's Foot Lust, the Quentin Tarantino story.
Wait, has Quentin Tarantino started to exploit Skinamax?
Wait, can you exploit Skinamax? I mean, like,
I don't know. Quentin Tarantino can find a way.
That's true.
Critters overall, I felt like in this apartment with the four of us, it was like Mystery Science Theater times like a billion, just because everyone was shouting random things at random points. Or just, I'm going to turn to you and say this random thing. Mm-hmm. I loved that. I will say, the beginning, with its campiness, drug on a little long, as most 80s films did. So much setup that didn't actually set anything the fuck up.
It did.
Well, you're talking about like the fighting between the kids at the breakfast table, just like forever. Yeah,
and like we're shouting through a vent to dad, we're doing all these things. Oh,
I thought we were talking about the whole damn thing. The cold open with the asteroid.
Oh, no, we made fun of the CGI. We're 53 minutes in, we've finally gotten to breakfast.
Because the cold open with the asteroid felt like Mystery Science Theater.
We spend 3 minutes in the cold open with the asteroid. Then we spend the next 40 minutes of the film on the farm with the family with a random cut to drunk dude in the drunk tank with his bottle of booze.
His name is Charlie.
Yeah, no, that's actually an important point. Charlie was a Green Acres style drunk who would just drink himself into the drunk tank.
He's like a farmhand that just gets drunk throughout town and ends up in the drunk tank because that's his bed.
Right.
Because he doesn't have a home.
But he's not locked in there. He's just there.
This is so Kansas. Small town.
No, this is what everyone wants to believe their town is.
And this is how a bunch of towns were back in the day. That's the harmless town drunk.
Having spent a lot of time in small towns, I can totally see that.
No, and can we talk about the era that this is supposed to be in, talking about the 80s? There's 1,000 movies in this era that have the same tropes in the beginning. This is post-Vietnam, so all those motherfuckers coming from Vietnam, every fucking 80s movie has the same fucking trope. Everybody's got that in these small towns because of Vietnam.
Right.
Oh, Lisa, you gotta understand that these tropes exist to normalize people.
And they treated him in a very normal way. When we all saw that on the screen in 2018, we all responded with, why the fuck is the bottle in the thing? Why isn't the jail locked?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Why isn't the cell locked? That sort of thing. But the fact of the matter is that in a small town is so fucking typical. In a town where you're going to have one fucking cell and you're going to have a dude that is the random town drunk, that's harmless. That motherfucker saw some shit in the war, so we're just going to treat him like whatever.
If I'm being honest, I feel like this movie tried to pull a Western move. They made the outlaws critters.
Instead of banditos, you have critters,
mm-hmm.
and the town has to sort of unify.
How is that different from Tremors, exactly? I bring this up to say that most of the 80s films in this era were all very much the same.
What were the things that stuck out to you?
This movie is so 80s, mm-hmm. because... Like, if we're playing that game.
We're playing the, this movie's so 80s because.
It's like when you're watching T2 and you're like, this is so 90s because that's a real tinfoil shotgun wound.
We cannot defend from the tiny creatures We must light them on fire, despite our home.
May I say that that last one wasn't an 80s trope? That's a Critters bitch.
I think that's most horror films, bitch. I'll give you that. But, like, straight up, why would you attempt to light your house on fire because a fucking critter is at the top of the stairs? I get it. There's three more behind. Kick them. Kick them.
I have to comment on this because of the opening part of this movie is that they're excellent killers and they're just a different species. They're just a soccer ball shaped thing that you could possibly kick. They could also shoot their little tranquilizer horn things at you, like, because they're kind of porcupine-esque. Yes, you could kick them, but that's not a trope.
I think what you're complaining about is more just generically speaking bad writing.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Is that not the definition of the 80s?
The definition of the 80s is obviously an 808 drum machine and synth pads. I mean, everybody fucking knows that.
808, baby.
While Critters is definitely not the most elevated film in terms of script writing, I think that that's not why we're watching it in the first place. I think we're watching it more because it's a campy, fun time. To me, when I think about 80s movies, I'm not thinking about gaps in logic. You know, this movie definitely has gaps in logic. But when I think of 80s movies, I'm thinking of sort of a soundtrack with sort of a hazy film, because that's the stock they were using at the time, with pop culture-based, you know, approach to cinema. But none of that means that the movie has to be dumb.
The perfect example of that in this film is the montage where they destroy what is 1,000 goose down pillows.
I believe we decided it was chicken down.
Those are definitely a bunch of goddamn chickens. Well, it turns out all the convicts just wanted to fuck up some pillows.
Which, I mean, it's important to have goals.
They probably went to jail on some bullshit three-strike rule, right? They killed three people, therefore they have to go to jail for life.
Thanks, California.
And now they're on Earth where they're free, and they're just gonna fuck up some pillows.
This movie is sort of like watching an episode of Scooby-Doo trying to get an Oscar. Okay, moment of truth. Did you have a good time with this movie?
100% had a good time with this movie. How do you not have a good time with a movie as ridiculous, as outrageous, and awesome when you are watching it, shouting at the TV in someone's apartment with friends? And that is fucking awesome.
Critters, for me, was a hell of a lot of fun. I think the first time I saw it, it was just background noise, but two beers and two friends later, this is a fucking fantastic film.
There's nothing better than the end of it, which, I'm not gonna lie, made me want to watch the next one. Show me eggs, I'm here for it.
That was a very classic 80s, like, sequel bait moment where it was just like...
Well, right, now we put it at the end of the credits.
Right.
In the 80s, you made it the last shot of the film.
Well, yeah, because in the 80s, you knew what you were fucking doing. Now they're like, oh, no, we want to make people, like, see who the CGI roto artist was. Fuck that shit. Put that shit at the end of the movie. Jason, top line review, what do you think?
I'm going to say that this would be a much higher quality film if they killed characters.
Jason loves killing characters.
Oh, killing characters is one of my favorite things ever. If, as a franchise, you can kill character, it means you don't care. That's good.
It adds a sense of danger or stakes.
Yeah, it gives me, a person who really has a suspension of disbelief, that there are stakes and that there are consequences to actions. And this film had none of that. But outside of that, I thought it was fun. I'm looking forward to watching number two.
Awesome. And with that, I think we should close out this episode of Cinema Swap. I look forward to talking to you guys soon about Critters 2, or as they say in the common parlance, Crites 2.
I don't think I'm getting invited back.
If this show comes out at 12 minutes, you'll know that you were deleted. All right, so quick one word answer. Up, down, Jason?
Up.
Elisa?
Up.
John? Up.
Oh, it's a three-way up. Look at that.
If we could, we would all fuck this movie. Elisa, thanks for joining us, and thanks for breaking barriers.
Yay, vaginas.
Jason, thanks for showing up. I don't know. That's it for a Cinema Swap. We love you.
That's
That's it for this episode of Cinema Slop. You can visit us on the web at cinemaslop.com for show notes and other garbage.
Or if you want to follow us on social media or pitch your Walter Chang's inventory choices to us,
you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, all under Cinema Slop.
Thanks for listening.
The music for this episode was provided by Vandalay. You can find them on the Facebooks at Vandalay Music or VandalayMusic.com. That's VandalayMusic music.com.
And if you want to hear assholes talk about different movies than the ones we talked about here, then go and check out our friends Mac and Peter at Super Movie Ball. Find them at supermovieball.com and iTunes. Still haven't had enough? Then check out Peter's Movie Nights on SoundCloud. That's Peter's, MoveyNites.
Thing is, the microphone doesn't pick up your tears.
I mean, they don't have wetness.
I hate you a lot.
They don't have wetness receptors.
That's not
if you
fair.
If you hear something shorting out, that's definitely Elisa.
You gotta give her a minute, dude. She's gonna burst. Look at those tears.
I feel awkward.
It's the wetness.
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
Hey guys, this Sideslop episode features a girl that can't handle her laughter.
I just want to point out, this is the first time we've let a woman on our show.
Yeah, and it might
oh,
be the...
Oh, fuck you, I gotta make it that way!
It might be...
Fuck directly off the both of you!
And it might be the best show we could have.
Way to make up for it. Dig out!